If you got your Bibles this morning, I want to share something with you. This is going to be encouraging. You guys are going to, this is going to be good, 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 good. I love the Word. Amen? If you got your Bibles, jump over to Colossians 1 and verse 11 is where we're gonna look at some different scriptures here today. You guys know, now back in the day, it was when I was younger, most people my age, it's not as much now because college is kind of a little different now than it was 15, 20 years ago. But do you guys remember you had to take your test to get accepted into college? You remember that? And I didn't like taking tests. I wasn't a very good test person. I didn't like that very much. And so I had to go take SATs and PSAT, ACT, whatever those things are. I don't know. All I remember was I went and ate a big breakfast. And when I took the test, I didn't know everything. So I just colored dots in and hoped that I hit it right. I just kind of was like, that was me. I was just like, eh, whatever. It just wasn't my thing. And so I took the test, and then, you know, you get a letter. You have to apply to a college. You guys remember that? And what would you get from a college is you would get this, what was known as an acceptance letter. And they would tell you that you have been accepted to their college, their university, and that you could start and you could attend their school. But how many of you guys know, just because you got the acceptance letter didn't mean that you were a student yet. You had to accept the offer. You had to show up. There were some things you had to do. When I got accepted to school, I got accepted. I actually ended up, surprisingly, when I was in high school, I got a scholarship, which is kind of funny because I wasn't really big on the school thing. I was big on photography and art and things like that, which not most people don't realize that about me, but that's kind of what my major was. And I ended up getting a scholarship on graphic design to go to school for full ride scholarship for graphic design. And so I went to school for graphic design. And then when I went to school for graphic design, I switched mid thing, because that's what you do in college. You switch a lot. So I switched to try to figure out what I was called to do because I wanted to be a school teacher. And so because I knew I wanted to help people, I just didn't know how. And so I was like, okay, I went for graphic design, then I switched over to being a school teacher. And then when I was younger, I wanted to be a firefighter. I told you how I caught my tree on fire at the house and I put it out quickly and efficiently. My mom found out about that in church. And the reason I tell that story in church is so that there's no repercussions for me now for what I did when I was younger. But I did. I caught my tree on fire. I was trying to burn a Hot Wheel to see if it caught on fire, and it did. It caught on fire. And it caught my tree on fire, and I put it out quickly. My parents never knew I did it. Now they know, so yay, pray for me later. But anyway, I had all these letters that I would get, but I would get accepted to these different programs, but just because I was accepted didn't mean I was just in there and I didn't have to do anything. I had to accept the offer. I had to say, I'll take you up on the offer. I had to sign the paperwork and do everything like that so that I would become a student and then enroll, and then everything was put onto my account, and I was a student. And how many of you guys know, just because you're accepted for 1 year, you have to go apply again for your next year. You know, if you have a full ride for a year, that's great. But if your school is a four-year, two-year, three-year program, every year you have to go back and apply again because you have to get accepted again. And, you know, when we did school acceptance, a lot of times we would get those letters. But just because I got that letter didn't mean everything was done. I had to accept it. And, you know, as believers, we have to understand something. We've already been accepted. Listen to this. You've already been given access to everything that God has for you. You have a letter that has been sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, and your name is written on the top, and the inscription on that letter says, accepted. When you become a child of God, you have gone from darkness to light. A child of darkness to a child of light, disobedience to obedience, from unaccepted to accepted. But here's the thing. Many people are trying to gain acceptance to something that they've already been accepted into. I've seen this with Christians, and when I was writing this down and praying about what to share, I realized that so many Christians don't really feel like they're accepted. they struggle with this whole thing of freely given, freely receive. Because how many of you guys have ever heard this when you're younger? There's nothing free in life. We all heard that. You know, and I've heard this my whole life. If somebody gives you something free, there's always a string attached. What's the catch? What's the string attached? So a lot of times when we hear this in Scripture, we think to ourselves, well, is it really free? And so we look at it and we go, well, what's the catch, God? What's the catch here? Well, no, you're accepted. Or, well, are you sure? Yeah, you're accepted. Inscription, sealed, accepted. Child of God. Okay, but what's the catch? So what happens with a lot of believers is we put regulations and restrictions on ourselves to try to earn something that's already ours freely. How many of you guys, let's just be honest this morning. Can we be honest for 1 second? How many of you guys have ever not read your Bible for a day and you feel like you're not worthy anymore? Good, nobody has, just me. I've done it. Mean that thought comes across your mind. You forgot to read your Bible. You got busy. God's not happy with me. So now I don't go to God on basis of faith. I go to God because now I'm afraid. I'm afraid that God doesn't love me. Or how many of you had this? You messed up and you got mad, did something stupid, did something wrong, and you asked for forgiveness, but yet now I'm not accepted, so I have to earn myself. I got to earn my righteousness. I got to earn my righteousness. Here's something you have to understand. Your righteousness was a free gift. And anything you do and don't do never changes the fact that you're righteous. Let me say this again. Righteousness is a free gift. Anything you do or don't do never changes the fact that you're righteous. It changes your relationship, but it does not change your righteousness. So a lot of times, you know, the enemy gets Christians in this runaround game of they mess up, they don't do something right, they have to earn it. So they struggle and they try to earn it. And so what we do is we're like, well, there has to be a string attached somewhere. So I'm going to read my Bible hard. See, I've done this. So I'm going to get up at 5:30 every morning and read my Bible. Y'all, I'm not a morning person. And I've tried that before. And yeah, the reason I did it was I was like, I'm going to try to earn love. I'm going to try to earn what's freely given to me. But that's the wrong motive. I'm going to pray every single day for the whole world for an hour. And then you do it for the whole week. And then after that, you get busy and it goes down to 30 minutes. Then it goes down to 10. And then you're like, now I got to figure out another way to earn God's love. But God's love never changes. You know, God's love is like a flat line. Now, flat line in life you don't want, but God's love is like a flat line. It just stays the same. Now, how we respond to that is up to us. Accepted, righteous, healed. Whatever it is that God has provided for us, it was freely given to you. That's what Ephesians says. It was what? It was a gift. It was grace. By God's grace, he gave it to you, not of man, that you can't earn it. How many of you guys know you can't earn it? How did you get born again? You accepted it. So what does Scripture say about it? Because remember, we always want to know, like, what's the Bible say about this? Well, look at this. Colossians 1:11. Now, I'm going to read this from multiple translations because I want you to get this. I want you to hear this. We're going to read verse 11 and 12. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified, and then I'll tell you some different translations. It says this in the Amplified: "We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father." What has he done? Who has? Is has past tense? What has he done? Qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. So according to the Amplified, he's qualified and made you fit. Now listen to this in the Passion Translation: that you be energized with all of his explosive power, that God has made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance. Listen to this part. freely given to us by living in the light. Notice that. The Contemporary English Version says it this way: His glorious power will make you patient and strong, enough to endure anything, and you will be truly happy. Grateful to God for letting you have a part in what He has promised. I like the Young's literal translation. This is the version that I've memorized. He did make us meet for the participation of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Ephesians 1:6 says this way in the Young's literal translation. It says that you have been accepted in the beloved. So according to all of those scriptures that we read, all those translations, and all of those different versions we've read, if you even look at it over here in the King James, it says it this way: to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the beloved. So you've been accepted. Amen? Now look at this. Accepted is literally graced with grace. In Christ is a reoccurring term designating the sphere in which all salvation is realized and the realm in which God's kingdom purposes are fulfilled. So graced with grace is literally what that is, accepted. If you look over there in Romans 3, go to Romans 3, verse 24. Let's look at this, what it says. Romans 3, verse 24. This is good. This is a good shouting verse here. It says all. So that's us. Verse 23 says we've all sinned, fall short of the glory of God or the honor which God bestows and receives. All are justified. How many is all? Is that everybody? Young, old, doesn't all? Are justified and made upright and in right standing with God. Woo, that's nice. Freely and graciously by His grace. Freely and graciously by His grace. His unmerited favor and mercy. Unmerited means what? It's not earned. His unmerited favor and mercy through redemption which is provided in Christ. All are justified, made upright, and in right standing with God freely and graciously by His grace, His unmerited favor and mercy. His unmerited favor and mercy. You have been accepted in the beloved. You have been graced with grace. So if you look at this, all those different translations, you can read it this way. We have been qualified, made worthy, accepted, graced with grace, justified, upright, and in right standing with God, freely and graciously, by His grace and unmerited favor and mercy, which has been provided by Christ. You have been, if you're a child of God, you have been accepted into His kingdom. Everything that He has is now yours. Everything. Let that settle for a second. Everything. So when He gives it to you, He does it freely, an unmerited favor. Grace is basically unmerited favor. How many of you guys know grace is something we don't deserve? We don't deserve what God has done for us. If it's based on what we've done, our merit, we would all say, well, I don't deserve it. I mean, think about that for a second. Let's just lay out salvation. You know, the word salvation, everything it encompasses. So let's just say peace, for example. If we're going off of our merit, what we've done, how many of us would say, well, I deserve peace? I'd be like, I don't deserve peace. I deserve death. If you're going off of what we've done and how we act, none of us could earn it. Because the Bible says in that previous verse, all have sinned and come up short of the glory of God. All of us have messed up. None of us in this room, based on our own merit, deserve anything. But based on what God has done for us, He freely bestowed upon us and gave it to us and called you accepted. See, when you accept Him as Lord and Savior, the first thing He does is goes, accepted. Accepted. So no longer rejected, no longer darkness, no longer over here. Now he's like, what do you need, son? What do you need, daughter? Accepted. You don't have to earn it. Let that, this just, it kind of frees you up a little bit. Because so many people think they have to earn everything with God. I've got to earn it, so I've got to work so hard at it. And how many of you know we all come up short? So what does that create? Frustration. It creates anxiety. But he has made you accepted. All you have to do is take what he's done for you. It's kind of like a package deal. You get it all. You get it all. You get the whole thing. That's why Jesus came. Excuse me. That's why he came. Think about this. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Did he come to make you earn things? He came because he wanted to show us how much God loves you. And then he said, I'm not going to freely give you everything. I'm going to give it to you. When you accept me as Lord and Savior, now you have access to all that I've had. That is awesome. Freely. So it's free. It's free. Now here's the thing. The Bible is full of things that you already have, but you're not going to know what's rightfully yours if you never read the Word. You have to read the Word to find out what's yours. You have to get into the Word. And when you read the Word, you find out throughout the pages of Scripture all these things that God has done for us, all these provisions and all these sacrifices. It's just amazing when you see how much he has done for us, but then you find out all I have to do is accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and all of this is freely and graciously given to me, unmerited, unearned upon my life, just because I'm a child of God? That sounds like a good deal to me. Does that not sound like a good deal? It sounds like a really good deal. But what happens is this. This is the kicker. Because see, it's already been done. You know, Jesus, when he went to the cross, what did he say? It is finished. Why did he say that? Because it's done. And why did the veil tear? Because he said, now I'm not going to be behind a veil built with the hands of man. I'm going to dwell in the hearts of believers. See, the devil really messed up. Because he thought, I got Jesus crucified. But what he didn't realize was he's going to rise again, defeat him, and then he was going to inhabit the hearts of children and people across the world. So now there's millions and millions of people that are known as Christians, which literally translates to people like Christ or little Christ. So that's the deal that we got. But what happens is this. We've already been accepted. We're in right standing with God. We're righteous. We're upright. We're worthy. We have all these things that God has done for us. So it's mine. And some of us are hearing this like, it's too good to be true. But it's the truth. It's God's word. But what the devil does is something very tricky. How many of you guys know that the devil is very good at what he does? If he wasn't, he wouldn't deceive so many people. But what the enemy does is this. He gets you to strive for something that's already yours. He'll tell you that you got to work for it, you got to strive for it, you got to struggle to get it. And then what happens is it's always just when you get ready to get it, it gets pulled away from you. And then you work hard, struggle hard, work hard, and right when you get ready to get it, it gets pulled away from you. And that's the dance that a lot of believers do. They never walk in what God has rightfully given them because they don't believe they have it. Because the devil has lied to them and told them they don't have it. But I got a scripture for you, because this scripture's good. See, when you know the M.O., of the devil, you understand what he does to believers and children of God. You know what he does to people. You when you see this, it helps you with all aspects of life. And it's very simple when you look at this. Look at this. John 8:44. Is everybody good? Okay, good. You're thinking. John 8:44. Now, I like what it says in John 8:44. in the Passion Translation, because this just hits. Oh, it hits good. Like, woo, like you read this in the Passion Translation, and this will help you out. This is Jesus talking. This is red letters. This is not Pastor Matt. This is Jesus, okay? Says this, "You are of the offspring of your father, the devil, and you serve your father very well, passionately, carrying out his desires. He's been a murderer right from the start. He never stood with the truth, for he is full of nothing but what? Lies." I like this. "Lying is his native tongue. He is a master of deception and the father of lies." So he is a liar. Lying is his native tongue. He is a master of deception and the father of lies. So what's deception? Deception is this. It's the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. It's the act of deceiving. It's the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. It's the act of deceiving. Here's some other words that'll help you understand deception. Fraudulent, slyness, devious or deviousness, craftiness, crookedness. So the Bible says, Jesus says, your father, he's talking to the people, the Pharisee before, but he was telling them what? That you're like the enemy, and then he lays out how the enemy operates. He says, lying is what he does. That's his native tongue. He's a liar and the father of lies. He's a master of deception. So what he does is he is lying to you about everything. And then what he does is this. He will get you to accept as accurate or valid what is false or invalid. He'll get you to accept. When a lie is presented as a believer, we have two choices. You ready? When a lie is presented, you have two choices. Accept it or reject it. That's it. I mean, if you accept it, that means you've listened to it, you've dwelt on it, you're thinking, you accept it or you reject it. So when the enemy comes to you with a lie, his job is to try to deceive you, to get you to believe something that is not true. And what he'll do is this. What he'll do is he will try to get you to believe something is true with evidence. So he will tell you you're not accepted, that you're not accepted in the beloved, that you're not a child of God, that you don't have access, because he'll lay out evidence to you of why. But how many of you know the evidence that he lays out to you is a lie? The devil can do nothing but lie. That's it. Now, he may take truth, but he'll take that truth and add a lie to it. He doesn't know anything else. That's all he does is lie. He lies all the time. And how many of you know, like, if we raise our hands, all of us, I would raise hands, legs, feet, I would jump in the air. How many of you ever bit the lie and accepted it as true and found out it wasn't true? We all have. And what happens is we find out it's not true, we go, why did I believe that lie? Why did I accept that? Why did I do that? Because he's a master at deception. He's been doing this from the foundation, the start of this whole thing. Look at it. Back in Genesis, what happened? He deceived Adam and Eve. What did he say to them? You won't die. God said they would die. The devil's like, you ain't going to die. But God said I would. Oh, you ain't going to die. He just knows. No, you're lying. You're lying. What happened? The devil lied. That's what he's been doing the whole time. I mean, that's what he does. How many of you guys notice the enemy does that with you and people? Can we just get like right down to the living room topics? How many of you have ever believed a lie about a person and find out it's not true? Why did you believe it? because the devil deceived you to believe that what he was telling you was true. Anybody ever have that happen where, you know, somebody does something and the devil starts lying to you, bringing thoughts to you? Why is he trying to do that? Excuse me. Because he knows if you're not walking in love, your faith's not going to work and things aren't going to operate good in your life. Isn't it? I mean, think about it. Just think about how he lies to us as believers. So that's what he does with being accepted as children of God. He tries to tell you you're not accepted. He tries to tell you, how many of you guys have heard this lie? You ready? Because I've heard it, okay? You haven't read your Bible enough. You haven't prayed long enough. Here you go. You ready? You missed church last week. Because some of you have heard that. You had something come up and you couldn't make it, and it's not like you're making a habit of it. You just couldn't get here. There's nothing you could do. You're like, oh, I wish I'd go to church. And the devil's like, you didn't show up. You didn't show up. So now you got to earn God's love again. So go read your Bible. And then you try to earn it again, and you read your Bible. And then you read your Bible, and you try to do maybe what I did, which is get up at 5:30. And what happens when you get up at 5:30 if you're not a morning person? You fall asleep. So, you know, God said, let there be. And then you wake up and you're like, whoa, I fell asleep in my quiet time. And then the devil's there again. Well, you haven't read your Bible because you fell asleep yesterday. So now you got to earn it. And then you're like, but I'll read my Bible more tomorrow. And then you work on it tomorrow. And then you don't do it again. And then you're like, okay, but I'll pray longer. I'll pray longer. What are you trying to do? You're trying to earn something that was freely given to you. You cannot earn it. It's given to you. God loves you. That's why when she sang that song, I thought, man, she's on. That song, Pick. I didn't tell her to pick it, but it was so true because I was like, so many people don't believe God loves them. The reason that I read my Bible is because I love God. The reason I pray is because I want to hear his voice and I want to develop that relationship with him. I love him. The reason I come to church is because I love coming to church because I love God. The reason I do what I do is from a place of love and out of reverential fear and holiness of who my God is because I love him unconditionally. I don't do it to earn anything. It's already given, but I want to know him more. I want to know what's mine. I want to understand things more. I want to draw close to him because I know, like with a person, if I don't spend time with him, I'm not going to know anything. So that's why I do it. So when I come to church, I'm not coming to church to get check marks. Y'all, God's not in heaven keeping check marks. I'm going to set some of you free. Are you ready? God's provision in your life is not based on a check mark system. Brother Lonnie has been to church 23 times. And, you know, Joe, who sits here, poor Joe's right there, but Joe's just the common name, okay? I'm not meaning Joe there, but Charlie. So you got Lonnie, who's got 23 ticks, because he's been to church 23 weeks in a row. And Charlie over here was doing real good. He was on week 20. And he had to miss 2 weeks because he had to travel somewhere for work, but he came back after that travel, and he came back to church. But he didn't make 23 weeks in a row. He only hit 20. You know how most people think? God will heal and bless Lonnie because he's been to church 23 times, but Charlie's got to earn it. Freely given to Charlie, freely given to Lonnie. Lonnie's blessed, Charlie's blessed. Why does God want you in church? So you don't forsake the assembly of yourself together, so you get around the body of Christ, so you can be encouraged, because how many of you guys know there is power in numbers? That's why you come to church, because you love God, you love the worship, you like getting around a body of believers. I mean, there's a multiple reasons why we come to church, but I'm not walking through the doors of the church going, put me down on a check mark that I preached the word today as a pastor, so I should get 5 check marks. So when I ask you for something on Monday, you ought to hook me up because I'm so good. That's not how God operates. He operates by faith. He operates because he loves you. And the Bible says it was freely and graciously given to you, and that you've been accepted in the beloved as a child of God. See, that gets rid of all the struggle and the striving that so many people do. Because why? The devil lies and deceives and gets people to believe you got to earn it. It's so hard. You got to And one of the hardest things you do in life is going to have to earn God's love. And so we struggle, and we struggle, and we struggle, and we never realize that the whole time we've had it. Think about that. It's like if I had at my house, if I had in my bank account, you know, if I had $1 million, it's mine. You guys would think I was nuts if I was struggling trying to get $1 million. You'd be like, don't you have $1 million in your bank account? I got to work hard at it. Got to work real hard. Got to figure this out. Got to work real hard at it. Don't you have $1 million in your bank account? Oh, I can't pay my bills because I don't have any money. Don't you have $1 million in your bank account? You know, there was a guy, Brother Hagin wrote a story. This is back in the 1940s or 50s when he wrote this. He told this story. There was a gentleman, I think he was in New York. He was a homeless guy, if I remember right. It was a bigger city. Long story short, this guy was homeless. He was always begging for money. He was always begging for money. Well, he died. And when they found him, he was dead. He had a fanny pack on him. And back then, he had enough money in his fanny pack to be a multimillionaire. He never used what he had. Died poor, and he had enough money in his fanny pack. They said he had enough money in his fanny pack back then to stay in the highest hotel in that city for his whole life and never have any problem. Could have eaten the finest meal every single day, and he never did it. See, as a believer, it's like we got the fanny pack, and in that fanny pack, fanny packs are pretty cool now. They're back in style, so I can use that as in my sermon illustration. But, you know, you got a fanny pack. You got everything in there that you need. I got some peace, got some joy, got strength, got provision, got healing, whatever it is, right here. It's right here. And God says, whatever you need, it's already been provided for you. Accept it in the Beloved. Freely and graciously I've given to you. It's yours. Use it. Activate it by faith. It's yours. And there are so many Christians going around going, I wish I had more peace. I wish I had more. And God's like, you've already got it. But that's good news, because that means if you've got it, then it's yours, which means you can activate it and say, this is mine. And you know what? It's not being mean or selfish to say it's mine. It's no different than if my son, excuse me, if I provide for my son and I give him something, and I give him something and I say, this is yours, Dax, and he says, that's mine. How many of you guys know that wouldn't be selfish of Dax to say that? Because it's his. So God has given us all of these things for the kingdom, for this life. We have been accepted in the Beloved. It has freely been given to us, freely bestowed upon us. And when he tells us lies, the enemy does, we have a choice, either accept it or reject it. Listen to this. The enemy cannot force you to do anything. He has to get you to believe it as true, which means you have to accept it. He can't force it on you. You know, you have been given authority over the devil. The Bible says that as a child of God. So when a lie comes to you, you don't have to accept it. You can push it out and say, I'm not going to listen to that. Because how many of you guys know when people tell you lies, you don't believe everything they tell you? Then why would we believe a person that is known as the father of lies? Because he's a master at deceiving us to believing what he's saying is true. I wrote this down. What we have to do is simple. We have to replace the lies with the truth. It's simple, but listen to this. Most believers, though, can quote more of the lies than more of the word about their situation. You have to find out what the word says about your situation. The word has to weigh heavy, and the lies have to be few. You have to listen to the word a lot, talk about the word a lot, read the word, think about it. Because here's what happens. When you read the word more, what happens is this. When a lie comes to you, you'll filter through it and know it's a lie. Because you have like a filtration system almost. I have a fish tank back here. And in that fish tank, I have a filtration system. And what does it do? It takes out the impurities. It takes out the things that shouldn't be in the water to keep the water clean and keep the water pure. So that thing runs all the time. It's filtering out things that are bad. That's what the word is like. The word is like a filtration that constantly when you read the Word and you think on the Word and you spend time with God and you do all these things, what you're doing is you're building that up, that reservoir, and all of a sudden when a lie comes, it tries to come in and you identify it as a lie because you know what the truth says. It's kind of like anybody, when I used to fly home for the holidays, I used to get free tickets because one of the girls that was in my prayer group worked for Southwest Airlines. And so she would bless me with her tickets to come home for Christmas. And so she would give me free tickets home. And the problem with that is, it's a blessing, but the problem is when you have a one-way ticket, you get searched all the time. Because they want to know why you're just going one way. And I always had a two-way. It was just I bought a ticket one way and then another ticket coming back. Man, I got searched all the time. All the time. I was like, do I look that intimidating? Do I look like I want to hurt you? Probably not. Back then, I didn't have a beard, so I looked like I was 13, okay? And I mean, I always got searched, man. They would always, like, pull me aside, and I'd be the guy, everybody else going through the lines, and there's Pastor Matt getting his shoes off and putting his arms out and patting me down. I'm like, there ain't nothing here, y'all. Just let me go. Well, what are they doing? They're filtering. They're letting you through. They're venting who comes through. They're watching you. They're making sure. You know, they train people like that to watch. Why do they do that? Because they don't want the wrong person getting on the airplane and causing harm to people. It's the same thing with our thoughts. This is what I try to get to us every single time I come here and share this with you. And I'm just trying to hit this because it's so important for this next year. Our thoughts. The lies and the deceptions will always come through your thoughts. If you can catch those lies and disregard them and quote the Word in place, you'll find out that the lie will leave and the truth is there. And what happens when you do that is you start finding out what's rightfully yours as a child of God. You realize how much God has done for you. You realize all these lies that the devil has told you. And that's why your pastor always says this. When a thought comes to your mind, that's why you always say to yourself, is this with what the Word says or not? Which way is it? Is this a truth or a lie? If it's truth, the Bible says, James says, comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything that's good and perfect comes from Him. So if it's truth, it's from Him. If it's truth, it brings peace, and joy, and strength, provision, all of the things that the Word talks about. But if it's over here and it's a lie, then what does it do? Turmoil, stress, anxiety. How many of you guys notice certain thoughts that come into your mind create anxious minds? One of the things I had to change in my life, and I've worked hard at this, I still do it to this day, I work hard at it every single day, in a good way. You can't say to yourself, I have an anxious mind. I'm always so anxious. Because if we say that, guess what happens? We have an anxious mind. You know, it's very interesting, I'll just share this with you. This will be for somebody here. They teach you, the world teaches you this. Doctors will teach you this. And it's good practice. I mean, it is. There's a lot of things you can do. You can apply it in certain areas of your life. But they'll teach you that you can literally visualize yourself in your thoughts doing something and help yourself overcome anxiety. So, like, let me just give you an example. Let's say, I don't know, you got to give a speech. Okay, because most people don't like coming up here doing what I'm doing. They don't like it. But you got to do it for a class, let's say, or you got to do it for something. And how many of you guys know what happens with your thoughts when the person says to you, because we've all been here, man, I've done this. Oh, let's just be real honest. Let's just lay aside the I'm perfect thing because we're none of them. Okay, how many of you guys have ever had the opportunity to speak and the first thought that comes to your mind is, yeah, I'll do it. And then the next day you start thinking about the fact that you have to speak and what happens? The heart races, the palms sweat, and you're visualizing what's going to happen, and you're watching yourself go up front, you're speaking, and you fall over, and then you hit your head. I mean, you're just running wild with it. And then the next day, you got another scenario. And before you know it, like, you got 13 scenarios in your head. And then when you get up to speak, what happens? Full-blown panic, because you're like, oh, it's all going to happen. And so you just get overwhelmed. So they teach you that you literally can take a thought and see yourself doing something and accomplishing it and overcoming it and going well and actually overcome anxiety that way. It's the power of your mind. It's the power of how God created us. And so they teach you to visualize. So if you struggle with something, they always teach you to visualize it. Well, what are they teaching you? The power of your thoughts. Same thing with God's word. What you do when you catch that lie and you replace it with God's word is you start to visualize yourself and see yourself the way God sees you. And guess what happens when you do that? Now you start acting in line with how God acts. You start thinking how God, you start thinking differently, acting differently, talking differently, seeing yourself differently. So when you face things, you don't look at it the same way you used to. Why? Because you look at it from a different perspective. What's Scripture say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But when you get God's thoughts on things, you come up in your thinking, and it changes the way you see things, changes the way you act. So when those thoughts come into your mind and that lie tells you you're not accepted, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about you, you capture that thought, you replace it with the word. Eventually, what will happen in your life is you will believe what the word says about you, and when the enemy tries to come to you, you'll just disregard it as a lie. Because how many of you guys know, anybody in this room have a friend that's just a liar all the time? Come on now. Somebody that tells tales. You know, every time they talk, what do you do? Oh, that's John. He's just making up a tale. John's like, I went fishing. Oh, did you, John? I caught a fish. How big was your fish, John? That big. That big, John. Not that big. That. We were fishing and the boat fell over. The boat didn't fall over, John. It just got water in it. I fell out of the boat and I was going to die and there's alligators in the pond. They're going to eat me. John, there was not alligators. It was carp and they were not going to eat you. What do you say? That's John just telling a wise tale. That's how you got to be with the devil. When he comes to you and lies, that's just the devil bringing up another lie. Not going to listen to it. Not going to listen to it. So one of the things that we can do is this. What can you do this week? What can you do to help you out in this area? Very simple. I wrote this down. You can flip the script. You say, what's flip the script mean? It means turn the tables. It means reverse the usual or existing position in a situation. Do something unexpected. Flip the script. Turn the tables. Start changing it. Start changing your thoughts on it. When the enemy comes to you and tells you, excuse me, you're not accepted, tell them that you are. When he tells you you're not loved, tell them that you are. When he tells you you can't be healed, tell them that you are. When he tells you that you're weak, tell them that you're strong. When he tells you that you're whatever, tell them what the word says. Always tell them what the word says. And I want to encourage you today, every person in this room that's a child of God, you've already been accepted. So anything else you hear contrary to that is not from God, it's from the enemy. That ought to make you happy. Some of you are just like in deep thought. I don't know if you're thinking about what I'm saying, you're thinking about how you've been deceived, or you're thinking about the fact that, I got to change my thinking in some, but you're thinking. But that's good. Because when we do that, then our life can change. We can flip the script. We can change some things. In 2023, that's what we're doing. We're flipping the script. We're reversing some things. We're changing some stuff. Amen? And I believe this much, that we can take what we learned today and apply it to our life, and it'll change our life. Amen? Did you get anything? I believe you got something. Let me pray with you guys. Go ahead and close your eyes. And let's just believe God. Father, we just thank you for this time today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for helping us see the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that we've been accepted, that we are loved by you. We thank you, Lord, that your plan and your purpose is being revealed to each one of us in this room. I pray that when the enemy tries to lie to us, in any way, we take every thought captive. We don't listen to the lies, but we listen to the truth. We take every lie captive, we cast that down, and we replace it with the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that this week they'll get a revelation of it. They'll see themselves the way that you see them. As they start to quote the word, as they start to replace those wrong thoughts with right thoughts, lining up with the word of God, and they'll start to partake in what's rightfully theirs as children of God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you continue to do in our life. and we give you praise in Jesus' name.